The gates to the Rose Garden are now open. Welcome to my world. You are listening to Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham, a reflective conversation where I share the lessons I've learned on this journey called life. I don't have all the answers, but I do have plenty of questions. My name is Danielle Moneyham, and this is my love letter to the world, where I let my soul speak. Let's talk. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Rose Garden. It is your girl, D Money, aka Danielle, and I'm excited to be back. I am joining my friend Natalie on her episode today to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. And I never thought I would have to talk about this because of your boy. What are we talking about today? We are talking about sex, grown-ups, complicity, miseducation, and the hymen myth. And we're going to do it all through the frame and the lens of examining y'all boy, King of the South, T.I., and his comments on his daughter's virginity. Trigger warning is in effect. Tune in and let me know your thoughts in the comments.
You have now entered the chat.
Hey, it's your girl Chatterly, and you're now listening to Let's Chatterly, the realest, unscripted, uncensored conversation style podcast. It's a place where you can kick back, relax your feet, kiki, and catch the vibe. Are you ready to Chatterly?
So you can already tell by this episode title, it's just going to be just a little bit messy. I mean, a little bit messy, like that auntie with that bionic turkey wing arm. Potato salad. You know what I'm talking about with that bag shake and go 27 piece wig.
Oh yeah. God.
Anyways, before we get into this conversation, y'all know I'm a fool. I just want to let you know that we will be talking about sensitive subjects and that this is not safe for work or for little ears. So you need to kick back, plug in, and let's just get into this. Now, I tried to record this episode 50-11 times. I really did. And I just couldn't get my language right because I'm ignorant. So I had to gather my infinity stones. And now I have a very special guest joining me today on this episode. Oh. So I need everybody to welcome Danielle Moneyham, thought partner, communication coach, love superhero, and sex superstar. I am so happy to have you on this episode.
Thank you, Natalie. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Okay. So, you know, me and you. I know.
Because I'm excited. I'm happy to be here, but I'm more excited to know what I am here for. Because I'm surprised. Me and the listeners are both tuning in. Like, what does Natalie have? What is it? What are we about to talk about?
Foolery and fuckery, as always. So, this podcast is just going to try to process through this. Basically, like I said, through the title, it's called You Don't Own Me. And I want to, a lot of people going to be in their feelings about this, but y'all be all right. We all grown. Mm-hmm. Is that you do not own your children and they are not your little toys. So the first person that's in violation is this. We're going to be talking about Clifford. No, not the big red dog, but T.I.
Oh, T.I.
And the audacity for him to disrespect and humiliate his 18-year-old daughter all over the internet this past week during a recent episode of the Ladies Like Us podcast, which has now been taken down, but you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I know about this a little bit, but can you kind of give me some context? What did T.I. say on this podcast episode, which has now been taken down?
Okay, so I can give you a little bit of it, but guess what? I got a clip because, like anything on the internet, it stays forever. Mm-hmm. So he got on this podcast, grinning and skinning like he always do, and he talked about how he visits his daughter to the gynecologist to check and see if her hymen is still intact. And the way he does this, Like, he talked about this one incident. It was her 16th birthday. He butt her up real good, right? At the end of the party, he placed a note, right, on her door saying, gyno appointment at 9:45 a.m. Be ready.
This is a note that he put on his daughter's bedroom door on her 16th birthday?
Yeah, so we're going to hear it all. I'm going to play this clip for you guys, and then we're going to get into the conversation.
We have yearly trips to the gynecologist to check her height.
Oh, you okay. I'm done with you right now.
So, you know.
Do you go with her?
She's a prisoner.
Yes, I go with her.
You go with her?
Somebody check on Deja.
I go with her.
She's a prisoner.
So let me tell you, right? So this is one time go. I think this might have been after her 16th birthday. And this is what we do. Like, you know, right after the birthday, we celebrate.
And, we go and check her hymen after.
And then,
what the fuck?
You know, usually like the day after the party, she's enjoying her gifts. I put a sticky note on the door. Gyno.
No.
Tomorrow, 9:30.
Oh, this is great.
Real gross as fuck to hear. And it's more disturbing to hear the women laughing. Talking about this is great. Because that was enough, honestly. Like, just to hear him say that little snippet and to hear them laughing, I'm triggered. Like, trigger warning. Because that was enough.
I'm triggered, too. Like, there's so much conversation about how men should protect women, right? And which is a valid conversation and argument to have. But on the flip side, us girls, we got to do better. Like, no way in hell I'm going to have a male guest, right?
Yeah.
Sit up in my presence and talk about that and giggle about it.
No
and
way.
Kiki. No
and
way.
Kiki. Like, as a grown woman, like, no way did you think this was appropriate or did you think this was funny? And even if it's like, well, I was uncomfortable, I didn't know what to do, fine, but hashtag this is great. Like, y'all, nobody was like, pause. Nobody was like, huh? Like, y'all, it was gross to hear.
It was very gross. And for them, like, oh, someone needs to check on Deja. Like, no.
Right, they what? Did kind of say that, too. She's a prisoner in her own home. Ha, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha,
ha, ha, ha, hell.
Hell no. And it's just not T.I., right? There are many individuals that experience this type of persecution about their bodies. There's honor killings. So for people to say this is like fake outrage and he just being a dad and a lot of y'all wish I had a dad. No.
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 When people don't understand boundaries.
No, that's a definitely overstepping of boundaries. And let's say, you know, he did do this archaic act of checking someone's hymen or getting a report about someone's hymen. There was no need for him to bring it on a social stage on the internet.
Definitely no need for him to talk about it at all. Certainly not on the internet, which will last forever. But can we talk about the hymen myth, please? Like, just this idea of the hymen. Like, you can Google hymen myth and find out that whole, we're going to check, we're going to have a girl or woman lay down, put her feet up in the stirrups, get a speculum to insert into her vagina to see if there is a membrane that's still intact. Hi, that's not true. A hymen can break at any time. It doesn't have anything to do with sex. Like, your hymen will be intact if you've never had sex. False. That is false.
False.
That is lies. A lie. That is not true. Like, so you can go and do this test and see, like, oh my God, there's no membrane there. And this girl could have been a virgin. Can still be a virgin.
Can still be. It happens in many ways. Something as, like, minuscule as feminine hygiene, as using a tampon or riding a bike or falling. It's like the error of margin for this to happen is so great, you know. Like you said, it's lies. Lies, tales, and fairy tales, all that.
And the women in the room, that's my question, one of many questions, is like, how, first of all, did y'all think that hymen was Did you not know that that was a myth? That's question number one. Two, mm-hmm. nobody was like, let's use this as an opportunity. Let's use this and make this a teachable moment to talk about why that shit is not true and all the other archaic ass traditions that are designed to keep girls and women sexually oppressed and repressed. But I guess this wasn't the podcast for that. I guess this was just to kiki and talk shit, except they didn't really talk too much shit. And now here we are.
Here we are today. And like, their act in, oh my God, it was just like a violation after violation after violation. And my heart really goes out to like his daughter. Can you imagine being 18? We all know how it is to be 18 and you finally gaining independence and you're trying to like build this new life, a new sense of who you are as an adult, right? Even though some people still treat you as a child. And now you got to go into English 101 with everybody knowing your business like this.
And even more than that, Natalie, I'm 34 years old and I'm still mad as hell when my mama say something in front of people that she not supposed to say. I mm-hmm. still will look at her like, ma'am, who told you this in front of this person? Like, so I'm a grown up, so I cannot even fathom being a teenager still yeah. trying to like develop and figure out who I am as a person. And he get up here kikiing and shit, telling my personal business. This is private. Like, yes. this is private. Like, you want me to sit up here and talk about your prostate exam?
Oof.
Then we quiet. Then we quiet as hell. We can't talk about that. And you motherfuckers really are dying from prostate cancer. Can we talk about your prostate, T.I.? Or any other dad that wants to justify going and examining somebody's body so that you feel good? Because mm-hmm. all y'all black men can bend over and get
all
your
y'all.
And yeah. that really is for real. That's like real shit. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
No, it's definitely real. It's just like, and part of me is like, is this investment in this person's body because you feel as though all them bodies that you didn't catch gonna haunt you and come catching back to you? Probably. Is this what it is?
Karma, but, scared as hell.
Uh-huh. But it's not even about like karma, right? It's not even about that concept of karma. And we can lead into like double standards, because allegedly, which had been confirmed on the television show, his son is 13, 14 years old and had confirmed about him no longer being a virgin. Why? And he seemed... This is the attitude. I'm not even going to go on about him. It's the attitude that males have about boys. Like, that double standard. Like, oh, way to go. That's my boy. No one sees a problem with that.
Yeah, let's talk about the age of consent.
Yeah.
Like, again, T.I. or anybody else that thought that shit was cute and funny. Like, if you're talking about a child and they talking about they had sex, with who? Because let's talk about the age of consent. Mm-hmm. And that shit is cute and funny until you a 17-year-old black boy getting your dick sucked by a 15-year-old non-black girl, and now your ass is in jail for years, which has yes. really happened.
Yeah.
And you're labeled a rapist. Like, yeah. so I just need all of us, especially the grown-ups, we mm-hmm. just have to do a little bit better.
We need to do a little bit better. And then
a little bit better.
Those that you are justifying these actions, I would just like to say this. Communication is very important, right? And respecting the boundaries is very important. And if, you know, I'm just going to be honest. Your kids, right? Miss, not my baby. Your kids are going to have feelings about someone else. It's human nature. And they're going to want to engage in sexual activity. And it's your responsibility to be there for them, to help them process through that transition. Right. And, you know, you may not like what you want to hear and you may not agree with it, mm-hmm. but you need to be there. You need to have that door open. Now, when, like you said, going back, because all mamas tell business and there's memes around it. Ugh. Parents just like to run their mouth. But Ugh. Like, if it's a simple thing that you feel as though is valuable as a secret and they tell it to your cousin or grandma, auntie on the phone, what makes you think if there's something really big and important, they're going to come to you and confide in you?
I'm
that
telling
door's
you,
closed.
It's closed. It is closed.
And y'all probably gonna be mad at me for this.
Oh, Lord.
But I'm just gonna go say it. I'm just gonna bring it back to me. I remember, because I'm from Texas, and they teach abstinence and a little bit to let you know that they ain't no damn stork. But to work around that, in King Jesus, a lot of people in my age group were doing oral sex, right?
So that you remained a virgin. You kept your virginity.
Yeah. In that instance, people weren't protecting themselves, and they had all types of microorganisms in their throat. Now, I could have said that a little bit more tactfully.
Microorganisms in their throat. Well, STIs can be passed orally. That is true. Like, people act like people, it can be passed, okay? Shit can be passed orally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Orally, anally, vaginally, and stuff could get in your eye.
Yeah, all types of orifices in these.
All the orifices, which is why like abstinence-only curriculums are problematic, because that's what you do. You teach kids who are going through puberty, their bodies, which is a natural process. Like, don't ignore those natural feelings. It's wrong. It's bad. Now, you don't do it until you get married. Statistics say either I'm not going to get married, or I'm going to end up divorced, or I'm going to get married super late. So the chances of marriage ain't looking too good, and I really want to have some sex, but now I'm conflicted. So fine, I won't have vaginal sex, but I can do everything except vaginal sex.
And so now kids are having more instances of anal sex, and there's nothing wrong with anal sex, but they're not prepared for it. You know, they don't have the information, because again, who can they turn to? But yeah. Pornhub.
No, and that is not the teacher. Pornhub is not. There is a place for Pornhub on the internet. I enjoy Pornhub. It has its place. It is not a teacher. No. Like, if people look at porn, and that's the thing. Sometimes people really do learn from porn. So if a person is watching porn thinking that this is how the real experience is going to go, they are beyond misinformed. Porn stars, they are actors. They are getting paid. They are at work. This is a movie set.
There are like, angles to this shit.
This is angles and lighting and exercises and training. Like, this is a production. What happens with you and your body and your experience ain't gonna be like this. So if it's like, yes, fine, I wanna stay a virgin, but I'm gonna do butt sex, and you looking up anal sex and learning how to do anal sex from Pornhub, you're gonna be in a little bit of trouble. Like, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. Like, your body, they're like, age appropriate sexual health education is not the same as encouraging kids to have sex.
Oh my God, can you say that again?
I will. Age appropriate sexual health education is not the same as encouraging kids to have sex. Like, you need to learn about your body and its functions. Like, the vagina has a function. The rectum, the anus, they have a function. So you can learn how these body parts function. You can learn how to protect these body parts at all times. The emotional and the psychological and the mental and the spiritual and the all of that that goes along with sex. We like to pretend that, like, you can't teach a person or a kid about the functions of their body without having to go into, like, the intimacy behind sex. You can teach me about my vagina without me having to go, like, oh, now I'm going to find someone who's going to connect with my vagina. Like, no, it's my vagina. And it's called a vagina.
When my 8-year-old, this is when he was 7. When he was 7, he came to me and he wanted to know where the babies come from. I did not give him the lie of the stork. I didn't give him the fairy tale when a man and woman love each other, because one, I didn't want to assume anyone's sexuality, and sex comes in many shapes. But I will say, I told him scientifically, I said, when the sperm this is a basic explanation. I said, when the sperm reaches the egg, right, there's a possibility that conception happens and that there's a baby, right? He That's said, okay.
Definition. Yeah.
Okay. And he just went on his jolly green way. He asked me how the sperm got there. He didn't, like, where. He was like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, because that's it. That's really it. It's none of that shame that we program into our kids to be like, oh, penis, vagina, sex, ooh. Like, no, how did the baby come? The sperm met the egg and maybe conception. Like, all right, cool. Skip away.
Skip away. No follow-up questions.
No. It's just like. I always liken it to teaching kids how to cross the street. Like, you don't want your toddler playing in the street. You don't want them near the street. But you teach them how to be near a street. You teach them etiquette on how to cross the street. Because you know there will be a day that they will have to cross the street and you are not there. So you teach them from the time they are little. When you approach the curb, you look both ways. Stop running near the street. Stop. Did you look? Like, you teach them. You don't wait until they 18 years old going off to college or war to be like, all right, guess you got to learn how to cross the street. Like, no.
That is so true. And that's why I tell everybody, I am not raising a child. I'm raising an adult, because we have like this culture where we treat them like children all the way, like you said, all the way up to they're 18 and just like, okay, figure this shit out.
Yes, that's really what they do. Like, you get to adulthood and then it's like, dump you out, figure it out. And it's like, hi, this is a learning process and we are going to continue to learn the whole ride. So why would we stop learning and why would we wait to start learning? Like, from the beginning, from birth, like, I believe in teaching people about their bodies from birth all the way to the end. Like, period. Because your body will change and evolve and it's yours.
It's yours.
But again, we don't think that our bodies are ours. People like to own our bodies, whether it's a government trying to own your body or whether it's your partner thinking they own your body or whether it's, you know, your parents thinking that they own the bodies of their kids.
No.
But it's like, no, you own your body. And I'm sure, and I'm not a parent, but you know, I always be like, parents just don't understand. Y'all be tripping. When I become a parent, I am determined not to be like, y'all be tripping. Y'all mean it, all parents. Y'all be tripping, Natalie.
No, parents. We be tripping. Like, we be tripping hard.
Y'all be tripping. But you know, sometimes parents think that they own the bodies of their kids. And like, I get it, because you birthed or take care of, you know, like, you, it's an investment, but it's still their body. And like, as a grown-up, I think our job is to enable and prepare these kids to take care of their bodies for the duration of their life.
Very true.
And like, that starts with education and protection. Speaking of protection, so T.I. need to be educated. Protection. What did this mama do to her son in public?
Oh my God. So this one is going to be a little hard for some of you listeners out there, but like, including myself, but I really feel that this is a conversation that really needs to be had, especially when it comes to protecting our young Black youth. You cannot in 2019, right? And they are damn sure better not bring it into 2020. Go up to any public space or any space in general and manhandle your child, right? And beat them like a stranger off the street.
Yeah.
That's not appropriate.
No, that's not what love looks like.
That's not what love looks like. And then I know some of y'all, well, you ain't raising them. Are you gonna help me raise them? The world is much tougher. It's up to me to prepare them. And that's why y'all kids... Oh, hold on. I'm getting in my feelings. I'm just going to say it like this. I, Natalie, do not spank. I don't believe in corporal form of punishment. So, yeah, that makes me hippy-dippy or white, as some of y'all like to say. And I'm fine with it. If it means for me to have a great relationship with my son and for him to have developed the social-emotional skills to be a productive adult and handle conflict, I'm okay with that. That's a fair trade-off.
So what does discipline look like for you? Because that's discipline. The challenge I think people don't know. People do what they have had done to them, even if they didn't like it, which is the crazy part to me. Like, you didn't like how this shit made you feel. Why the fuck are you doing it to your child? So then what does discipline look like for you?
Discipline looks like for me, okay. Discipline for me is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I feel as though there's a lot more value, right, taking the time out to walk through the steps of how someone can make better choices or where they went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Than to act out on emotion. I feel as though spanking, right, or ass whooping is more of like pacifying fear and anxiety that manifests in anger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have no degree in no child psychology and nothing like that. And I know there's an adage, well, I turned out okay.
Shit.
But did you really?
Right, did you?
Because some of us still leave with some traumas when we interact with other adults.
Yes. And or the traumas... Sorry, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say the trauma is a trauma that was created in childhood. That's the crazy part.
Okay.
The traumas that some grown-ups lead with is childhood trauma that they either have never acknowledged as trauma or that they have defined and made it part of their character. So it's like you leading with this shit. And I understand that. I personally understand what it's like to lead with some trauma, but you don't have to. But when you only know that story, mm-hmm. and that's your go-to, that's what people do.
That's what people do. And it takes a lot of unlearning. Like, okay. Yeah. When it got to the stage of having to form boundaries or teach my son about boundaries, I had no one to tell me about positive parenting. I didn't know how to parent effectively, I should say, because all I knew was yelling, mm-hmm. right? And you better tap them legs or one day he's going to run over you. And I'm like, you really want me to tap this 2-year-old, 3-year-old exploring boundaries, you know?
Tap
like, you know how it is.
Oh, black people make me so happy.
They do.
And the baby don't be doing nothing but literally like walking.
Walking.
You better tap them legs before he gets to running over you.
He grown. He's smelling himself. You better learn him good. I said, what type of motherfucking Django shit is this?
It legit is Django. It is fucking oppressive as hell. It's oppressive. Oppressive.
And you think about the first 5 years of child development, right? There's so many like things, magical things that are happening in the brain. As far as like, I'm not even going to get into the neuroscience of it. But you are harming your child, tapping them legs just because he's trying to figure out things. Kids are natural scientists.
They are.
Right? So if he's making a lot of noise, maybe he's finally realized the range of his voice or vocalizing.
Yeah.
Right? Or if he's throwing things, it's physics. You can tell someone, okay, this is not how we play. Not tap them legs.
That's the thing. I don't have kids yet. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I'll say this now and then listen to this in a few years as I'm tapping them legs, but I feel like there's a place, like there's a range, you know what I'm saying? Like some people's default is to go straight for physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people never go for physical. And it's like, I'm imagining that there has to be a balance based on your kid. Like, you know, if your kid is going to respond to X, like it's about education. All of this shit is about education. You trying to get them to learn why what they did was wrong or why what they did is dangerous. Like you're trying to get them to change this behavior. So whatever you do, it got to get them to change the behavior. If, you know what I'm saying? If I punch you in the mouth because you did X, what's to say that one, you understood the punching in the mouth was because you did X, not just because I was mad.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know? Because it's not like people explain, I'm going to punch you in the mouth because what you did back there was X and it made me feel Y. No, I'm just going to come up to you and punch you in the mouth and be like, don't do that shit no more. Figure it out. Like, again, with that figure it out shit.
Figure it out. No, exactly. And that's why I believe in also natural consequences as part of my parenting. And yep. I think another thing, too, is just like, you have, and a lot of people are like, I don't have to explain a goddamn thing to my kids. Like, I don't have to explain shit. But you do, because they act on impulse and they don't get it like we get it. And sometimes mm-hmm. that's like frustrating. So you do have to explain yourself to another human being, because yes. You can't, if another adult came up to you and be like, Danielle, don't you do this. You look like, motherfucker, who do you tell me what?
Yep.
Why I can't do it? Why? You know, it's all these questions. But if they go, Danielle, you know, maybe you should avoid this for X, Y, and Z. Maybe you'll be more receptive to it and you can understand. There's no need to act on impulse. But going back to the whole natural consequences thing, like I told him, hey, if you do not wake up and get to work on time and you continue to be late, what do you think the natural consequences is? What do you think a reaction of your boss or your employer would to be? You think they're going to let you continue to go to work late?
They won't.
And he understands that. And he goes, no, chances are I will be fired. I said, well, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to eat? It's like I said, it's like taking them through a walk of steps to let them know, okay, maybe I shouldn't make these choices and why. But it took me a while to kind of like learn that method. I think the reason why I was more aware of a other alternative is because of my socioeconomic standing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be real.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in a place of poverty where there's like generational cycles there's generational cycles in every class level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are I probably wouldn't have the outlook that I have. And then also I wouldn't have the resources that I have. I wouldn't know where to look for a community, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these women or a lot of these parents, if you're just trying to survive, fuck positive parenting.
Yeah.
Your child acting out or doing what children do is the last motherfucking thing you need, because you got bills to pay. You don't want to, you barely making it. It's just not on your radar. You already frustrated in life. Who do you go to for mental health resources? Because who do you go to talk to? Because everybody around you has that mindset.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, I think even when you talk about positive parenting and natural consequences and stuff, like I had never heard those phrases, but I think it's because just we're evolving as a society. There was a point in time where that type of discipline was understood and accepted. Like even in schools, teachers could hit kids, you know, mm-hmm. like to discipline them. And even in the Black community, you know this better than I do, you from the South, like I'm sure parents used to try to discipline their kids to stop them from fucking up, because they didn't want their kids to end up dead by the hands of some white people because they fucked up outside. So you gotta beat them into like, behave yourself. Like, it's another form of breaking your spirit.
Yes. And that's what I needed somebody with the language. That's exactly what I want to talk about. Also, you're exactly right, because when I look through the Facebook comments, it's like, I need to do this act in order to prevent the world from doing this to them. You know?
No. And I get the logic. I get the logic, but it's like, okay, we don't have to oppress each other
mm-hmm.
in an attempt to protect the world from destroying us. Like, I'm going to beat you so that you can go out here and behave and come back home safely. I'm beating you because I love you. Like, no, that don't go together. Mm-mm. That's not what love looks like. And I don't, like, if anybody made you mad, kid, grown up, whoever, you need to get your emotions under control. You cannot deal with that anger. You can't deal with that shit through emotion. Because what are you teaching your kids?
No.
Like, what are you teaching them?
Exactly. And so when I say or commenting in this, like I said, a lot of people going to be in their feelings and pissed off about me when I say that spanking is lazy parenting. It really is, because parenting takes work.
Mm-hmm.
That spanking, right? It's not. It's like a short term solution.
It's a band aid.
And
it's a band aid on cancer. You know, like, it depends on especially why you are spanking. Like, why are we here in the first place? If it's like some little bitty stuff, tap them little legs. So that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you did this, don't do that. Like, okay. But if it's like, you over here, you're spanking me because I stayed out past curfew, because I was doing X, because I was, it's like, you spanking me just means that, bitch, I'm not going to get caught next time.
Exactly. I'm not doing.
Like, I'm just not going to get caught next time. Like, it's especially if you don't get to the root cause of why you are addressing, like, what you mad for. And that's why you need to explain yourself to your kids. Because why are you doing this discipline in the first place? Fuck mm-hmm. you mad for. Okay, fine. Now I know why you mad. Now I know what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. But a lot of times we don't explain that to people. We don't want to. And we certainly not finna sort through feelings and thoughts to communicate that to a child. Just do what the fuck I say.
Do it. Do it because I said so. And like, look, I'm not sitting up here like I'm perfect. Because sometimes I find myself raising my voice, reverting it to my mother. But I always have, guess what? The ability to apologize and to explain my emotions.
Yeah.
And let him know that he doesn't have to accept every apology, because you know what? I don't want him to feel as though just because someone hurt you over and over and over and over and over that you have to automatically come to this place of forgiveness for them. Mm-hmm. It should be for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, I have to, and then sometimes it's just communicating, like, okay, hey, you know what? Can you please go upstairs in your room to play? Because, you know, mommy's feeling stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need some time. I don't call myself mommy. I know. I'm just not feeling great right now. Mommy's feeling sad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to get into the details why, but they can understand basic emotions. They understand that people need space. And sometimes they need space. And sometimes you have to learn how to de-escalate a situation and learn that, you know, hey, it's not a power trip. And then some people are like, well, you don't know my kid. Every kid is different. I would say this. I was a badass motherfucker. I was like a baby kid. I feel so bad for my mom. I was like that one little girl that never had no hair, always bald head. It's always bald head. I was just horrible. My mama, I remember she was always at the school every day. My dad was actually the first, my dad was the person that came up to the school and surprised me. I was so used to my mom coming, right? And so, see, the school is shady because they set my ass up for ass whooping. And so they told me to go to this room, right? And they're like, oh, go to the book room. And in there waiting was my daddy. And he whooped my ass in that book closet room.
In the book closet?
Yes. And everybody, I would say everybody in administration at Pecan Valley Elementary, if y'all want to run me my coins, my Cash App is, never mind.
They definitely set you up. And that is traumatic. Like, that shit happened back in the 90s. But unfortunately now... even though in the 90s they thought that that was strong discipline, that shit does not fly now. So that 90s style, come and beat your ass at school, could result in a grown-up being arrested.
And that's exactly what happened to her. Now she's, you know, in custody. She lost her children, ages 1 to 12.
See?
All of them are lost in the system. And we all know what happens when our children are lost in the system. So I'm just going to let you know this. It's not worth it. And the part that got me is that you bought a quote-unquote Facebook reality TV crew to go record this. And you had this friend who's, and not everybody's your friend, singing and rejoicing in the fact that you went to go whoop your child's ass. You don't have to put on a show. I think this is where things went from, like, I'm trying to discipline to I'm going to let everybody know that not my child. I got this. I own them. And look where
that public humiliation stuff is. Another disgusting behavior. Like, publicly humiliating a child is gross, but to publicly humiliate your own child on purpose is even more gross.
It is. And I know that feeling for a fact, right? Not because nobody saw my daddy whoop my ass, thank God. But I remember my mom, she used to have boys and girls, going back to the TI discussion. My brother used to, like, be able to run the streets and do whatever. And me and him are 6 years apart. I'm the oldest. So I was 15. And my mom was like, you got to be in when the street lights come on. But my brother, he didn't. Right? So I'm like, well, fuck. You know what? I'm grown, or quote unquote smelling myself. And it was this boy I had a crush on. So we were standing for the street light, right? And I'm talking to him, granted, my mama pulls up, granted, the street lights just came on, it's still, like, dusk, it's still dusk. Natalie Latrice Pickrup, if you don't get your ass, I mean, when I tell you I was, like, humiliated, I was crushed, I was hurt. You know that meme when that chick, she's like, she has that face, like, in the courtroom, like,
See, that one, I could almost, like, that's so embarrassing. Like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like, I mean, like, like the parents who be making their kids wear signs and stand next to the expressway and shit.
Yeah, that shit is out about
those type of parents. Your mama petty for that. But see, I have a petty mom. See, my mom is petty, so I understand petty. I don't understand it, but I just be more tolerant of petty over, like, just mean. Your mama super petty.
What exactly. Girl, he fell all on the ground laughing because I was talking bitch shit because I had a friend, right? She's like, Natalie, don't you need to go home? And I was like, no, I don't need to go home. I can go home whenever I want to go.
See, that was a setup. That was a setup.
You didn't have to roll up to me in that sedan. Do me like that. But, you know, all jokes aside... I'm still embarrassed about that shit. All jokes aside, it's just like tough love, parenting, all that shit. It's hard. I'm not trying to judge anyone, you know. I don't want anybody being they feelings and feeling hurt, or I don't want to shame you, but I'm just want to open up this conversation to let you know there are other ways to dealing with situations. That's all.
Well, I think you said it perfectly. Like, parenting is hard, and it is not easy. It's not simple. It's not something that people just naturally just gonna get it right all the time. But it's like, it's that education part on behalf of everybody, and treating your kid like you said, like, I'm not raising a kid, I'm raising I'm raising an adult, or I'm raising a person?
What'd
you
say?
An adult. It's like recognizing from birth that you have birthed another human who is growing into an adult. So treating them in an age-appropriate way, that's like, I recognize that my journey, or my role as your parent, one of the roles is to, like, make sure you make it to adulthood safely, bro. Like, make sure that you make it there. And you can't make it there and then kick me out. So, like, if you want me to make it here and you want me to make it to adulthood and be smart and competent and able to survive in this crazy-ass world, then you got to recognize that you don't own me. And, like, this is a partnership, not, like, 50-50 partnership, like, because you're clearly my grown-up, you're clearly my parent, but you can't just be, like, you, this, like, my body is yours. You can't examine my body. You can't, like, you don't own me.
All right. I want to thank Danielle so much for joining me today and having this conversation with me today. Let everybody know where they can find you on social media.
Or where they can find you online. Follow me on Instagram at Talk That Talk Danielle, TalkThatTalk Danielle, DanieLLe. On Instagram, or Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham on Facebook. Yay. And they can listen to the podcast on Anchor. Talk That Talk with Danielle Moneyham on Anchor.
Yes, but you should definitely check it out. She has some really cool conversations that really need to be had. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. This was so much fun. I know it's hard. Like, I know everybody got opinions on this, but I just need grown-ups. Like, we just got to do better.
We got to do better for the culture.
Thank you all for tuning in this week. And if you enjoyed this episode, please share with your mama, daddy, brother, sister, cousin, pastor, deacon, and deaconess, and the member of the number one usher board. And let's continue to Chatterly online. So please hit me up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Let's Chatterly.
Chatterly has left the chat.
All right, superstars, we are all out of time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe, share, review the episodes, tag a friend, talk to me. Visit DanielleMoneyham.com and follow me on social media to stay connected. Your support means the world to me, so thank you for helping my dreams come true. A major lesson that I learned, that I continue to learn, is that although you will experience dark moments in your journey, you can be the light. You have more power than you know. Until we meet again, shine bright.